Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We're off and running here on a football Friday, an off-season football Friday, but football is always in the air here in the great state of Texas. So welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in. General at your service at ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion. He's doing all right over there in his quarter zip.
Got it going.
Looking good with the merch. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over here, Master Control 75 and 635 Lakeside Studios, fixing to go 5 flawless. LA Live's coming up at 540. The G-Bag of the Day champ here in about 20 minutes or so for you. Of course, you have Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, your nosebleed brothers. Aiden's not here today. No Aiden Butler coordinating
not
your video.
Vacation.
Haven't seen him today. Okay. So salute to him. Send him some love on social. Let him know he's missed. All right. 443 says no one cares about girls playing professional basketball, which is kind of offensive.
Yeah, screw you.
They're women. Another 469, wings are awesome. Every night a different player shoots the lights out. 817, wings were the best game on last night. Watched all three of them. You got to come from behind victory with a freaking triple-double.
Yeah.
From Jessica Shepherd, 22-20-10, first WNBA player ever with that stat line. Mm-hmm. She's now the Wings' career triple-double leader with two through eight games.
Yeah.
So apparently, she wasn't even starting for the Lynx last year. She was probably backing up their superstar, Collier.
Okay.
So she comes over to the Wings, and she's blowing up. She's averaging a double-double. You know?
Let's go.
So it's just another reason to believe. And I guess the story is here, the Wings, you know, they beat the Aces 95-87. That's cool. But it marked the second straight win over a recent champ. Maybe the last two champs, New York and Vegas.
That is, yeah.
So they're just building their resume eight games in that this could be a real contender. AZ Fudd had 22 in her first start. Beckers had 20. They were on fire from 45.5%. And Coach Fernandez afterwards, probably nobody believed that we'd have five wins right now and the type of wins that we've had. But I think everybody in the locker room after the staff believed it. Fernandez said later in the post game that, quote, we're not even close to being at the level I think we can be at. So thanks to them for being
hell
good.
Yes. Halfway to last year's win total of 10.
Everybody was excited about it except for the Aces head coach, Becky Hammon.
She was
still
on
thinking
fire.
About Jalen
Brunson.
Was she
Brunson?
Salty?
She was pretty salty, just the free throw discrepancy.
Oh.
I think the Wings had like 10 more free throw attempts than the Aces did. So she cussed it up a little bit, said, fine me, no problem. This is horse hockey. Mm.
Yeah, she says, I'm bleeping tired of that bull bleep. Yeah. She might be the saltiest coach in all of sport.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a dog. She really is. And Beckers had her. Did you see her jersey? Her WNBA debut jersey?
Sold for a lot.
Almost $65,000.
So, yeah. You know, I think it's picked up in a very meaningful way. I think over the last 5 years or so, based on the text, I think, you know, it's at a pretty polarizing spot right now. But I would also say if we talked stars right now, we would get some of those texts. Like, nobody cares about the stars. It's the offseason. If we talk Rangers, there is a couple of guys who are usually Johnny on the spot saying, get back to Cowboys. Nobody cares about the Rangers. They're below 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how much this is a good barometer, but, you know, it's not like we're going to turn into a Dallas Wings show of record. But I'll tell you what, if you're cynical, like you look at the TV ratings of some of these women's college games, but look at the social media engagement.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason, the American sports has decided this is relevant now. And, you know, they're getting more likes or views or clicks or whatever than a lot of the other men's games. And it's not like there's even a ton of smoke shows out there. You know, it's not like there's an Anna Kournikova effect of these dimes that have started hooping and now America's tuning in to be horned up. You know, America's just like watching because it's become relevant. I think girls sports growing has turned a lot of families into girls sports fans. And then they're like, you know, they want to get together and watch it as a family. So and congrats to all the girl dads out there.
Chicks don't flop like SGA.
That's a good point.
No,
I mean,
that's a physical
game. That's a good point. It's probably because they don't have the spatial awareness and quickness, but we won't hold it against
them. They're not in their landing zones.
You know,
it works in our favor as a viewer.
Keys to victory last night. We talked about the importance of patience against Arrigetti. Mm. Get ahead in counts. Try to avoid the curveball. Did not work. Wow. Three hits, one walk in six innings of work against Arrigetti. One run. The Rangers get whacked by Houston. They drop 3 of 4. So now we're heading for three straight losing seasons. Is you know, kind of what this feels like. My thing with CY, he is our guy. I love having him on. I'm sure I'm biased. I'm pro CY.
Yeah. I think that there is, you know, it's tough because he is always great with us every single week, and you can tell how much he cares. So I think that it's fair to have a little bias on our side.
You know, genuinely, I think he put together a team that overachieved and won the World Series, and now he's being held to that standard. The standard has been raised, and I love that. You know, we're not winning a World Series. Nobody was this mad in 2020. You know, it was just a team that had run its course. But you get to the top of the mountain in 2023, and now expectation, I think, is causing a tremendous amount of suffering in the fan base, and I like it. Hopefully we don't back off of this. Let's keep the pedal to the metal and insist on better. You know, I think he had his payroll slashed, but this is a guy that has given you pitching, wins you a World Series. I hope that they're patient with him. You know, and Bochy's World Series got him 2 years. How much more time are you willing to give CY before you're like, damn it, we need a new GM? And you see it in the text, you see it on social media. That is a very, very popular and you know, prevalent take out there among Rangers fans.
I think they need a different approach, and he's a very process guy. He's very much a believer in his staff. They went through this last year with getting rid of the hitting coach. But obviously something is really, really amiss here. And if they have something that they're hanging their hat on, their approach of, okay, how we're going to – and this – correct me if I'm wrong, Wolchuk. I mean, new staff, but Skip was here last year.
Yeah.
He was seeing all this.
Right.
So if you're thinking, okay, we need to do this differently – I would hope that would be the case, but something is very fundamentally wrong with this baseball team when it comes to hitting or the approach. And like I said, I think the vice president of baseball operations is very much about that, the results, and the results aren't there. And so I wonder if, again, we're about to see something different transition into, okay, well, we're going to have to move on from another hitting coach here. And does there need to be a different approach, or is there something that we're missing throughout the organization?
This is the third hitting coach post World Series, right?
There is something fundamentally a blind spot that they have in their approach when it comes to hitting. And not that everybody in Major League Baseball hits. You know, I mean,
the offensive numbers are down the whole thing.
But for the last 3 years, and we could talk about with Boach and, you know, what the approach. And he has a lot of faith in these coaches. And I just wonder now when losses start to mount, where is your level of, okay, I have confidence in these guys still? Because he starts to see, well, wait a minute, why is this? And we all kind of thought pitching was the way it was because of Mike Maddux.
Yeah.
Obviously, they do something correct when it comes to evaluating pitchers, whether it's starters. You know, you spend massive amounts of money to get those guys. But think about the bullpen guys he's put together.
3 straight years, he's done a masterful job of that.
Yeah, fundamentally, they have something wrong with their approach to hitting. And I was listening to Skip talk about it. He's like, well, we got to figure it out, whether it's underhand toss, batting practice, overhand toss, live pitching, machine pitching, and all that. It sounds like to me that they're trying to do things, but the approach, I would take the approach of the teams that are hitting. You know, what are the things that teams, the good offensive teams in the league, what's their approach? How are they? Do they just have better players?
I think that's what it is.
I think a lot of it comes down to the players, and I think that, you know, clearly CY has moved on from coaches. He still believes, though, in his guys. Like
he always puts a lot of faith in those guys.
He does.
Because you can't trade him for better players.
Yeah.
That's his only option.
And he keeps talking about underachieving, but like...
That's not real.
Outside of like, what, a 20-game sample size we saw from Evan Carter?
Yeah.
You know, when he gets called up and you go on that amazing October run, what's Evan Carter been as a pro? And it's been not a very good offensive
player. Slap hitter, pretty good defensive player.
Yeah, Josh Young.
The minute I say that, the minute I go in that long discussion I just had, think about the guys that are hitting. It's the guys like Durant. It's the guys like Foscue.
Young.
It's the guy like Young. It's those guys that are hitting, and you wonder is it just the players because they do have some guys that are traditionally some light stick guys that are actually doing a pretty good job for him.
Yeah, but Foscue's been benched. You know,
I think they were a crap team up until 2023. They started. They had two hot months. Then they were crap for four.
Yeah.
And then they were great for a month. So we've had three great months of baseball like in the last 8 years. And I just think we got incredibly lucky that it timed up. Yeah. And now Corey Seager is old, you know, and Marcus Semien.
Yeah, you can't hang your hat. This is very much like Overshown for the Cowboys.
So yeah.
You want to believe in the guy, but now you're all of a sudden, he wasn't hitting well before he got hurt.
Yeah. No.
You know, so now you're thinking like, wow, is he going to come back and help us, or is he going to be a liability? I think Foscue got benched because of his defense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That play they had the other night, afternoon in Anaheim, I think that was kind of the end of it.
It'd be tough for me if I was in Ray's shoes to look at this and say we're going to move on from CY because we've never won a World Series. He's built us this pitching staff.
Yeah.
He found it once. Nobody else has ever found it.
And he's under the tax now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it might just be as simple as like, I mean, God, I don't even want to use this example, but like for a second there it looked good when you bring in a Dennis Lindsay to help with Nico. And you go to the finals, right? Like prior to the Nico trading Luka, like we were looking at this like, okay, this is actually a really good front office for a second. Maybe CY just needs somebody to come help him evaluate the hitting approach of this. Because I'm with you. I mean, the pitching's taken a massive stride. Now, they got a big problem with the first inning. Like, they're on pace to give up 54 first inning home runs this year.
Yeah.
Something's up with this.
Yeah, it's bad.
That is a legitimate
problem.
One
out of every three games, there's a first inning dong.
And now, I mean, they've got the highest ERA in all of Major League Baseball in the first inning. Even Evo said after the game, like, it was over after the first. There's something going on there that's legitimately now the sample size is large enough where this is a problem.
Yeah.
But it might just be, hey, CY's a former pitcher, and you know that he's a guy that is going to demand excellence from everybody, and he's the reason why that standard's there. He said it with us. I want a team that is going to be competing and in the playoffs every single year. This is not a flash in the pan. Why can't the Texas Rangers be viewed as the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, as a team that is competing and contending every year? That's what he wants to build. Unfortunately, they have not been able to carry over that success on the field.
No, so at some point, you're not scoring at the big league level. You're not drafting and developing tremendously well. I know we have promise for Wyatt Langford, but he's, you know, despite all of his traits, he's kind of like a league average hitter in a lot of places. He's got the slug, and that's all going to come around. And by the time he's 28, he's going to be crushing and going to All-Star games multiple years. But at least right now, it's not like he's lighting the world on fire like other young baseball players do that have his kind of potential. So if both of those things are not true, I think if I was Ray, I got a date in mind, but I don't think until like the end of next year. And maybe I'll reevaluate then and say, hey, we're making progress and I want to stick with this guy because he's great at keeping people accountable and, you know, he's got a lot of positive traits. I think you make a great point, though, Woolchuck, and maybe it was the collective qualities of JD and CY together. Even though JD wasn't here, he was here, you know, pretty dang recently when that World Series parade happened. Sweeney going to the Magic was the top story, and you know, I just put it at the end here because KNC's done such a tremendous job covering it for the last 30 minutes or so. But I do wonder if the Mavs were that interested.
Yeah, me too.
And if they were, and he goes to Orlando, that would be surprising because that's a much smaller market. And it's a talented team as well, but I'm sure you have history here, you have roots here. I think if the Mavs were interested, Sweeney would have been interested. I don't know that.
I think there's no question that if Sean Sweeney was offered the Dallas Mavericks job, he would have taken it. There's no doubt in my mind he would have. I, you know, just talking to people around the league and stuff like that. But I just want to try. Like I say, there's a couple of people I could reach out to and that are kind of close to him and see if, in fact, that he would say, yeah, the Mavericks never offered me the opportunity. We'll see. We'll see. I'll try and run that down for you.
Okay. Still some good candidates out there. We're not seeing connections of Tom Thibodeau to the Mavs, are we? Have we seen any of that yet? No?
No.
I have not
seen He that might yet. Be too much of a hard ass. You know, but man, I think it would be perfect if you could bring Thibodeau in here and have like a 2-year plan. He's going to try to get us across the finish line with Najee and PJ and Gafford and Kyrie, and then, you know, make a great defensive team. Like, Thibodeau's an overachiever, yeah, but he's like Parcells. Everybody's going to be tired of his crap within 18 months. Yeah. So I would say let's try to overachieve with this veteran group, instill toughness, great defensive identity in this organization, bring Cooper Flagg up in that environment, and then in a couple of years, you know, look to change and maybe bring a vibes guy in or a teacher or a, you know, an offensive guy if that doesn't go well. But I think with Tibbs out there, it's a perfect opportunity to, you know, try to see if you could steal one. If there's injuries and you can play elite defense and Cooper Flagg takes a big jump, Kyrie comes back healthy, I could see it. We got the top 10 coming up next. Wolchuk, where are you taking it?
Yeah, found a top 10 quarterback head coach duos for the upcoming season. Where's Dak and Shoddy? Who do you think's the top duo? That's next.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. All right, we'll get the top 10 here in just a sec. Let's go to the Pimp Cup where Lucius has the champ.
Yeah. What up, fellas?
Oh,
ain't that Jeff's old
Oh, my goodness.
Situation?
You're right.
Oh, it is.
That
yeah.
is Amanda.
Yep.
They're on CBS Sports.
Boy, she done got thick.
She did.
Like Drake May.
Shout out to Jeff, bro. I see you, Phil.
Today's his birthday.
If I see him, oh, word?
Yeah. All right, it's probably not the day to say he's something like that.
I think he's over at Hellman's wedding all is right. where he's at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to see him. I'm going to just dap him up out of nowhere. Yo, Phil, I see what you was doing, bro. I see what you was doing. I see you, nephew.
All right, going for two today at 5:30 is this young lady that pranked her father. Poor dad. Poor dad. She did this for the internet for likes and clicks. She told her dad that her boyfriend broke up with her and put her out. Mm. Dad was emoting.
Hello?
Daddy.
Hey.
What you doing?
I'm watching the game. What's going on?
Daddy, I'm just so mad.
For what?
Daddy, because, like, JJ just packed up all his clothes and he said he don't want to be with me no more. And he left.
What happened?
He just said he don't want to be with me no more.
He took his clothes off.
Yeah, he let me.
But why are you going through that right now? He gone?
Yeah, he did me like that.
He
took his clothes up. Yep, he packed all his clothes up and he just said he don't.
Robin, what are you doing?
Daddy, I didn't do nothing.
Never why everything going bad, huh?
Yep, left me, Daddy. I think,
man,
Daddy.
He's a bitch.
Very supportive dad.
He had plans, bro. He had plans for future son-in-law. Must be a good mechanic or something
dude,
like that.
Yeah,
God,
very
we lost
respectful.
Him. God, we lost him.
What did you do? Yeah.
Good golf partner or something like that.
Man.
There's something going on there. I just, man, I hope I can be that supportive. But I think I would be cheering. Like, oh, I guess you got to move on home, honey.
Oopsies.
You know?
Yeah.
I told you about that guy.
I am very much.
Don't trouble. Say that. Oh, don't say that.
No, you can't do that.
No. You just agree when she says it. Oh, yeah. You know,
well, you're right, honey. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying not to trigger the rebellion stage.
Oh, too. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
It's unavoidable.
Yeah. We're all human.
Yeah. Maybe till about 23-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something that happens with these kids. They become teenagers, and they just can't wait to get out of the house. They'll come back about 24, 25.
They come back.
They're like, oh, man, turns out you're pretty cool, Dad.
Yeah. Then you can't get out of the house.
Right. Tell me another story, Pops. Right. Give me that beer, man.
Right now, like in public, she's watching me. You know, she's worried about her doing anything awkward, as all teenage girls are. But now she's worried about dad doing anything awkward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, no.
I'm
Sean
being
stares at me like if I have to introduce myself to somebody, that's like four or five names I put out sometimes. Oh, hello, L.A., Lucius, Paula. And I can hear Sean in the background.
Just pick a name,
fam.
All right, it's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 220. Here he is, Zach with an H.
All righty, here we go. We're going to get into the top 10 quarterback coach duos. All right, this is courtesy of Sports Illustrated, but we've got some fresh news regarding Texas Tech and Texas. Now, this was yesterday. This was what we were reporting on Joey McGuire. We started to get some of the actual quotes. Here is exactly what Joey McGuire said during the Big 12 conversations yesterday to the media in response to Sark basically saying his twos and threes could be Texas Tech.
You know, Sark, we played him. We got our butts kicked the last time we played him. We're 1-1 against Texas since I've been there. And I said, there's no way they're talking about us, because Sark's a pretty tough guy. His teams are really tough. And I would think that if he was talking about us, that he would call us out. Like, he wouldn't just say, you know, just kind of this comment of, well, there's another team in our state. And so I guess he was talking about us. So I've actually talked to Keith Patterson and I've talked to G.J. Kenny, and they're willing to take our games. And Abilene Christian will go to Texas State. We'll buy our contract out of Abilene Christian. I'm sure, because Texas has got a lot of money, they can buy their contract out. But I do know there's a lot of Red Raiders that will help them buy that contract out if they don't want to. And they can come to Lubbock week one. And, you know, we can figure out if their twos and threes can win this conference. And, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say a lot of stuff about me or about us. We didn't score in the playoffs. That's obvious. You can take a shot at us for that. We didn't score in the playoffs. The last time we played Texas, we got beat 57-7, and he played some of his twos and threes. They kicked the crap out of us. But, you know, I know he feels really good about his team if he's making those comments. And, man, we would love to play the University of Texas week one in Lubbock. I do know that Cody Campbell reached out to Stephen Jones, so they don't want to come to Lubbock, and we're going to work on trying to get AT&T week one. So if they want to play week one, then we're ready. We would love to play the University of Texas.
I mean, I do love the sound of this. I think this would be incredible, but I do understand from a Texas side of things, you're getting ready to take on Ohio State week two. You've got the toughest schedule in the country. You missed out on the playoff by going 9-3 last year, even though you went 3-1 against top 10 teams. Is there a real benefit to you to go ahead and do this? Now, I do believe Texas would beat Texas Tech. And I know, you know, hey, I married into a Tech family. You guys have seen my Red Raider fan flag go ahead and grow over the last couple of years. But that would be a tough matchup for Tech. With uncertainty at quarterback, you're probably not going to have Sorsby available. Will Hammond, is he available to his health-wise? Like, is he cleared? Probably. But that's first game back from a torn ACL. Like, I love the idea of this. I think this is awesome. And it's great for the sport if it could happen. It's great for the state of Texas. But I don't think this would end well for Tech.
No, probably not. Not with the level of talent that it seems like Texas has this year. And like you meant, if Sorsby was playing and starting, it might be a fair amount more competitive there. But there's just nothing really in it for Texas.
Yeah.
So it's a great ploy by Texas Tech and McGuire, because they can get out there and pump their chest a little bit. And Texas is not going to bite. And none of this is actually going to happen.
Now, at some point, does this make him bite at all? Here's Cody Campbell. He goes on the McAfee show. This is just a couple hours ago. Cody Campbell, Tech, former Tech player, Tech grad, big oil man. Here he is.
Name on the field.
Yep. Talking about the Texas Longhorns.
How much are you behind this? What is the likelihood of this potentially happening? And this would be excellent. Is this even legal to happen at this stage of things?
Well, so, you know, you and I talk a lot about Texas, and but I don't know if you know the difference between bulls and steers. Do you know the difference?
So the bulls, you know, they kind of go trotting around looking, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's an important there's an important physical difference, and this is a family show, so I'm not going to lay it out to you, but I think a lot of your viewers know, and you maybe have some of your guys look it up, but Bebo, the Longhorns mascot, is a steer, and it's become very clear that there are quite a few steers down in Austin and not very many bulls. And let me tell you something. When Sark opened his mouth and he picked a fight with a bunch of West Texas boys, he should have known that he better get ready to pack a lunch, because we're ready to strap it on.
Hell yeah.
We're ready to spot the ball, and we're ready to go. So September 3rd, September 5th, you name the place, we'll be there, and we'll go at it.
That's he aggressive. Said Sark has been castrated. That's what that man just said, bro. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, look, nothing to gain, really, but now they're coming for your manhood, Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, I love it. You
just got to say, let's do it.
Weaponizing words. I think a lot of this is engagement farming. I think a lot of this is great PR, and they're using it as a tremendous opportunity to get their fan base fired up and be crotch first about their football program. And, you know, I'm not sure Texas would easily win. Texas Tech's going to have a great defense. This would probably be maybe a 7.5-point spread, even without Sorsby.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech's defense could hang in there, and I think their running game should be pretty good. I think the offensive line will be improved. They've got a big-time five-star recruit. Now, will he start as a true freshman in Felix Orji? Possibly. And that would be, you know, baptism by fire going out there against, you know, some of what Texas is going to be running out.
Is it the
out,
same Orji family that's been cranking out a bunch of athletes?
It's possible. This one's from Mansfield, but I think a lot of the Orgies were in Rockwell.
I know how.
Very much so. Yeah, I know 100%. But, man, this is just continues to grow, and we'll see if Texas bites, because Tech is throwing out a lot of ammunition right now.
Do you think if it goes to 24, a four-loss team would get in? Like, Texas could say, man, we could lose to Ohio State, we could lose to Tech, drop two SEC games and still get in.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yes. You know, so if we're doing that, then what are we worried about?
Yeah, well,
give us big games.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I mean, could you imagine season, like, week one now? We add Tech in Texas all of a sudden? Hell yes. Those numbers would be huge for college football. All right, let's knock out this top 10, the 2026 ranking of the NFL coach quarterback duos. Now, the worst duo in all of the National Football League.
LaFleur and Beck, or I guess Brissett's the starter. So.
Second to last. Good one there. LaFleur and, excuse me, got Brissett. They did say Brissett, 31.
Is it
not the worst?
Is it the Jets?
You okay, buddy?
No, not really.
Yeah.
The Jets are 29.
Okay.
That's Glenn and Geno. I guess it's just because Geno's done something in the league before.
Would it be like Deshaun Watson and Todd Monken?
Yeah, well, it's just Shador and Todd
Monken. Oh, Shador.
Coming in at 32. And then the only other one that was in the bottom four was the Dolphins.
About to say Dolphins were probably.
But where do you think the Cowboys are on this list with Shoddy and Dak?
It's tough because you have new coaches, like for Josh Allen, new coaches for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. So that it's hard to know how they would rate these first-time head coaches.
I'll give you Lamar, 16 for the Ravens. Jesse Minter and Lamar Jackson. They're 16 on the list.
Let's go with 10.
10?
I'll say 8.
8th? Yeah, I was really thinking they'd be hovering around the top 10 as well. They are 17.
Mm.
Haters.
17. Now, last year's ranking, they were 22 from Sports Illustrated, so they have moved up.
So that's improvement.
But Schottenheimer and Dak, they rank Dak as the 8th best quarterback. They rank Shoddy as the 24th best head coach.
Oh, wow.
So they're 17 overall. Cowboys have plenty of questions, but most center on a defense that ranked 30th a year ago. Offensively, the unit was second in yardage, primarily because of Dak and receivers Lamont Pickens,
yeah,
one of the league's best. Prescott threw, we know the stat line. In Shoddy's case, the coach enters his second season after finishing 7-9-1. After moving off defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus for CP, did Shoddy push the right button? That choice will hover over Dallas' season and potentially determine his fate.
I was thinking I was thinking like coach, play caller, and then player is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of top 10, because I don't think I disagree with – I mean, maybe it's a little bit lower than what I thought, but if, like I said, it should be, like, he's really unproven as a head coach.
He is.
You know, the quarterback is, like, but if you went play caller, where would you put him in play caller and quarterback?
I think they'd have to be in the top 10.
That's where I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to talk about
overall
head coach. I mean, you can't tell me going out and losing to Arizona, Chicago, Minnesota. Carolina. Man, you can't. Yeah, against a rookie quarterback.
So who are like the three teams ahead of them?
The ones right ahead of Dallas, Baltimore, the Giants with Harbaugh and Dart.
Hilarious.
And then Buffalo with Joe Brady and Josh Allen.
Sure.
Well, see, they're giving the credit to the head coach there at the Giants. That's what they're doing there.
Harbaugh is the eighth best head coach, and Dart is the 23rd best.
Losing fourth quarter leads, not doing jack squat for like the last 15 years. John Harbaugh is Mike McCarthy.
Hmm. Okay.
You know what? Same amount of Super Bowl wins.
And just the presence of Jackson Dart, like this should be, you know, how successful are your coach and quarterback combination going to be this upcoming season? Dak's going to lead a top five offense.
Yeah, I mean, like I would definitely
Jackson Dart is going to score 17 points per game.
Your top 10, Cincinnati's 10 with Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. The Bears, at 9 with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Jacksonville at 8, Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence. Mm. The Seahawks with Donald, McDonald and Darnold at 7. The Niners with Shanahan and Purdy at 6. The Packers at 5 with LaFleur and Love. The Chargers at 4 with Harbaugh and Herbert. That's 7-7. Harbaugh 7th in coaching rankings. Herbert 7, one spot ahead of Dak in the top 10 quarterbacks. New England with Vrabel and May at 3. The Rams with McVay and Stafford at 2. But number 1 is the Chiefs with Mahomes and Andy Reid. Mahomes is the top-ranked quarterback. Andy Reid is the second-ranked head coach.
Thank you, Wolchuk. It's time now for a Friday staple with Eric Chiafano. Where are you taking us?
Yes, sir. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Biggest L, biggest dub next right here on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for a Friday staple with Eric Chiafalo. Take it away, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Here's British Ian. We got Wolchuk gimping around the studio with a bit of a foot injury, undisclosed on how it happened. We are trying to get to the bottom of exactly how he hurt himself. As a 30-plus-year-old father of two, potentially pushing the stroller can get so hazardous that you end up with a little boo-boo on the footsie.
You go uphill, rocky terrain. You never know what can happen.
It can really get away from you. So make sure you keep Wolchuk's feet in your prayers. Did you double up on the gout meds after all that red meat last night, Ronis?
No, I was good, man. You're good? Shellfish. It's shellfish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't care.
You didn't serve and turf?
I don't care.
No,
I mean, I'm going to stop a crawfish boil. Yeah. Like, I tell you what, man, the bunion is a worse of a problem than the gout.
Yeah, you've said that before.
But I could tell, too. Like I would go to the crawfish boil. I could tell when it's about to start, but then you just take the medicine.
Yeah. Wait, what's the indicator that the gout is starting to rear its ugly head again?
Well, what happens is you get that crystallization in your toe, and it just can't move. And every time it hits the ground, it's like it shoots pain up your leg and your side. Yeah.
It's so bad.
Crystals are forming inside your toes?
Yeah, inside the joints of your toes.
It goes all the way up your leg like a sciatica
issue? And then you step, and I swear, the pain just... But I'm not going to stop eating crawfish or crab legs.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not. Mm-mm. Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Lobster bisque last night. You think that's any good for my gout? No,
I guess not.
Not at all.
I guess not. Uh-uh. It's good for your belly, though. Mm. Tastes delicious.
It's good.
All right. 214, our buddy Woody. Big L this week. Had to have emergency root canal yesterday.
Ooh, jeez.
Huge dub, though. No opiates for the pain and got all the honeydews yesterday as well. Okay, so I guess... I don't know. He got them done. The honeydew is where you got crap to do, right? You're the honey and you're the doer.
Yeah.
So with the root canal, he fought through and got crap done, man. So
She's going to sit there and watch her Netflix shows. She got chores to do.
While he's dealing with root canal pain and no opiates to ease the pain either.
Ooh.
You know, because he's still going strong.
That is something tough.
The benzos.
Wow. That is tough.
How about the Steelers mysteriously firing a coach after just a few months? What happened here with Darius Swinton? It was a violation of club policy. That's all we're getting here. But McCarthy has built a staff, and within 90-plus days, somebody's violating some sort of policy that has an assistant special teams coach out in Pittsburgh. That's an L for that guy, dude. He's getting ready for the summer. Like, the off-season haze almost in the barn. Bam, you're fired.
I can't help you on that one. Nobody outside the organization has known, so you might have to lean on Broadus's Gang of Seven.
Yeah, let's see what happened.
What's
over
our
there,
coach's
Broadus.
Name again?
His name
Darius
is
Swinton.
Yeah, Darius Swinton.
Darius Swinton. Let's see if we
what
can get something done here.
What did he do that was a violation to McCarthy? We also have
you called him overweight.
Maybe because Swinton's fit.
Yeah, don't
Swinton's
do that to
fit.
Mike.
He could have come in there flexing on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Fat shaming.
Don't make
coach.
Mike mad.
Get on to the breathing.
Yeah.
Maybe call him out for having an archaic office. I don't know.
Yeah, dude. That would be something, yeah.
You also have an L for the Knicks, dude. Mitchell Robinson, their big man, broke his pinky, had to have surgery, and
that's
now he's
crazy.
Apparently going to have to play in the finals with a brace on.
Yo.
Like a braced up basketball player feels like a sort of rendered useless basketball player.
I guess if it's your offhand. You know, if it's your guide hand, you could still kind of use your thumb and your index to
jump hook. Yeah, I get. Yeah, I mean,
but you're definitely not dribbling.
Yeah.
I guess if you can deal with the pain, you tape that thing up. You tape it to the ring finger, and you should have some pretty good stability in there. But probably worth it for him, considering you're going to have to battle Wimby. Well, we need all big men. Hands on deck.
For sure. 100%.
Even if they're broken.
Even if there's just one useful hand. We have the 817 Biggest Dub starting vacation after work today. That's awesome, dude. You
that is
that
epic.
Friday, yeah. That Friday vibe with
glorious.
The vacation, knowing it's on the other side. That's beautiful. Headed to Destin with the kiddos.
Enjoy.
That's a great summer
Destin,
spot.
Florida?
Yeah, Destin, Florida.
Stay out of that riptide.
Yeah, stay out of the riptide. But, man, white sandy
is it?
Beaches.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's fantastic. His L is that he still can't get over his thick A baby mama.
Okay.
All right. So
she
had him in a bit of a stranglehold over there.
Fall in love with that booty.
214, Biggest L was drinking the Rangers Kool-Aid thinking we were going to be good.
Nah, don't give up. Don't give up on the Rangers.
I warn you guys.
Don't give up on the Rangers.
Biggest Dub, it's almost football season. Thank God, says the 214.
Mm.
615, Biggest Dub, I'm officially 1 month sober. Unfortunately,
hey.
A month ago today, my fiance left me for that exact problem, but I'm focusing on me and me only. Love is dangerous.
Mm.
All right?
End of the bar to find another one.
Maybe he's got maybe he's got a chance at rekindling that love. If that's all she left you for, you couldn't get sober.
There's more.
And now he's 1 month in. Like, clearly, light bulb turned on for him. I think he's still got a shot. We're pulling for you.
Yeah, good luck on that. I mean.
You don't think so?
Nah, just
you think she was using that as the excuse?
I think that was her. That was her get out of jail free card. Sorry, bro. I don't mean to say that.
No, he seems like a great guy.
But, you know, appreciate you listening. But, yeah, she was looking for a reason.
In my experience, all the women that dumped me because of my drinking were willing to take me back, you know?
Okay.
They were.
But you just never got to the...
You said it wasn't worth it.
Well, yeah, I thought I had stopped drinking, you know?
Those 48 hours were real.
Yeah.
And they were true.
Yeah.
How about a big dub to the American climber, Tyler Andrews, who set a Mount Everest speed record?
Oh, really?
The record was 10 hours, 56 minutes from Everest base camp to summit. And he broke it by over an hour. He did it in 9 hours, 55 minutes.
Caught a helicopter halfway up.
We have a brand new record in total of
how do you do that quickly? How do you do that quickly?
You have to be as next level of a human being.
You have to be, you and the Sherpa have to be on the same page, and that there's a lot of there's like this walkway you have to go through. There's all this rope things you have to do.
You got a path cleared, number one, because it can get busy. You can stand in line up there, right?
There's a lot of bodies along the route.
So I think he had to have some sort of special status amongst the Sherpas.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he had to pay extra to get everybody else off the course.
Evidently, there's a Sherpa that broke his own record for something.
Sherpas.
He did something. It's the number of successful attempts.
Kind of a fun word.
This guy's made.
Sherpa.
Sherpa, yeah. This is the first time hearing of it. Right? 903, Dub, going to DBU tonight to root on the Rockwall Yellow Jackets against Keller. One Sting win em. From the state title. That's Tolo Reginald. Good luck, Reg.
Go.
That's fantastic.
Rockwall.
How about the L for the eight individuals that were stuck on that roller coaster 100 feet in the air for 4 hours? Did y'all see that?
Yeah, that looks like an absolute
my mind.
Nightmare.
Dude, this is really, really bad. Everybody's safe and cool and fine, but it was a bunch of high school kids celebrating the start of summertime at the Pleasure Pier in, let's see, where
was
this?
They were celebrating at the Pleasure Pier? Is this the right article?
Yeah, yeah. This is this was in Galveston. So they have to, they're up at the top of this thing. You're like laid back and you're like shot up, like you're going up like in a rocket, basically. You get to the top of that thing and your stomach is facing the sky. And then they're stuck at the top. And it took 4 hours to get all those kids down.
Oh,
can
my
you
God.
Imagine, dude?
No,
oh,
I can't.
No, no. I sent this story to Abby. I said, are you sure?
Did?
Are you sure you want to keep doing these?
Yeah, this is why we don't do them.
Yeah, that's a wake-up call. I mean, you just had the Six Flags situation with the electrical issue, shutting stuff down, people having to walk down the stairs of the Tormenta ride, the brand new, like, into the clouds kind of ride. Like, that's insane.
You know how you prevent
dude.
That? You just don't get on.
You just
thing.
Don't go.
You just don't ride.
You just don't go. But some way, somehow, people still absolutely love it.
Traumatized in my childhood being on ski mountains, you know, and the power goes out and you're on the lift.
On the lift.
Oh.
You're up there for an hour.
Yeah,
you know? That's when you want to be with Broadus in his handy little backpack.
The burnout lift operator. Yeah. I mean, you're 100 feet in the air or something.
Survive.
The wind's blowing.
Yeah,
Sometimes you're night skiing, so it's pitch black now, and you're just like, oh, my God.
The chair will happen, just swings with the wind and stuff like that. It's just, man, it is an eerie feeling up there.
Golly.
But you're right. My backpack does save the day. It's like Batman's utility belt, you know? Just kind of helps you out when you really need it the most.
Cold beers, sandwiches.
Yeah. You're like, no, we're cool. Don't save us yet. We're okay.
Yeah, no, we're cool, man. We're cool. 430, biggest up of the week, though. Brand new baby girl wrapped around his finger.
Right.
Congratulations. Girl dad in the Metroplex.
Right on, guys. Have a great weekend. We got a mixed bag coming up next. Well, Chuck, where you taking it?
Hell yes. We got a G-Bag Nation. You make the call. And how'd you feel about this Mavs mock? That's next.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.